Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver-Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
This week, we're re-airing one of our first shows from January 8th, 2014. We were exploring personal creativity with Dr. Dick Stoll, and the interview was so enchanting that we decided to air it again.
Today's guest is Dick Stoll. Dick is a bit of a Renaissance man. He's a musician, a writer, and performer of poetry and prose, and he also teaches in the kinesiology department at HSU. Welcome to the program, Dick.
Very nice to be here, Anne.
So let's get started with our theme for this month. How has growing older impacted your creativity?
How much time do we have?
Just take it away, Dick.
Well, I'd have to say that it becomes more important to me with every day in terms of satisfying my own creative impulses. And I think that in the stressful run-up to building a family and carving out a career, I, in particular, put a lot of those creative impulses on hold. And I look back in retrospect, and they were always with me from the time I was little. I think I always wanted to write. I always wanted to entertain. I was always enamored of music. So what I did was I actually started before 50. I actually remember making a conscious decision at age 40 that even though I was kind of in the throes of raising children and trying to get tenure and promotion and having a lot of those pressures, that I wasn't going to wait until I was 80 to read what the greatest thinkers of the world had to say about humankind and the problems of the world. I had a highly talented, creative mother who made me practice the piano, and I quit after 6 months to play shortstop. But I decided I'd return to music so I could go in the classrooms and sing songs for my kids. I wanted to be that dad, and that was the impetus for me to get back into music, and I've never stopped. I'm 59 now, and I've been doing it since age 40. And then I started to write and to reflect on my own life. So I would have to say that for me, 40 was a turning point. Much of that time, because time's our most perishable commodity, I realized that much of that time could have been directed into career pursuits, and I just made the conscious decision that this was more important. That was 19 years ago, and I'm very glad I did, because as things turned out for me, my own life took very unexpected turn, which, you know, made me confront all of, you know, the most important values. And I think what carried me through the hardest time was the fact that I had already laid the groundwork for a lot of my creative impulses. So I think it was almost a saving grace.
So when you were younger, those creative impulses, as you call them, they were part of who you are, and then they took a secondary place in your life, raising a family, working, and then something happened in your life that triggered a different kind of creativity or a different feeling about it. Could you say something about that?
I think what happened, I remember reading somewhere in Carl Jung that it's normal, or that people in their 40s, when they become self-reflective, they gravitate towards impulses that they had that, you know, they found reasons not to do. So kind of the true loves when you were young. I mean, the things I loved growing up, there were three things. It was jazz and literature and sport. So I went back to those things in a manner that I truly wanted to make it mine. So again, I started, you know, writing about those things and listening and playing music and things of that nature. But yeah, when, you know, I had certain very, you know, difficult life crisis times, I had already laid the foundation. By indulging those things in my 40s and my 50s, I'd laid a foundation to do it. And then it was more like almost an emotional necessity. I was impelled and compelled to do it in my 40s, but it was almost a life-saving necessity later on. Like, I remember, you know, reading Moby Dick, and at the beginning of Moby Dick, Melville goes, you know, this is it. This is an imperfect work. I don't have time to make it perfect. This is it. I'm writing a review presently about Miles Davis and a lot of the scholarship on Miles Davis, the jazz artist. And one of the critiques, positive critiques of Miles Davis, is that he always played close to the edge, that even when he was recording, he took chances in recording, that he never wanted to make it perfect because he wanted the tension of exploration. And I just thought that was a beautiful thing. I think it was Goethe who said, you know, life is an unfinished poem. I think that's kind of, for me, that was kind of the spiritual compulsion to be creative. It means taking risks.
One of the reasons I love talking to you, Dick, is that this conversation just went from Miles Davis to Moby Dick to Goethe. It's just This is talking to Dick Stahl. It's just perfect. There seemed to me to be a lesson in something that you just said as I was kind of taking notes and thinking about it. And it was that all of us are going to go through difficult times throughout our lifespans, and that creative endeavors can be lifesavers.
What it does for people is it allows an escape. Creativity and indulging that is interesting because, again, it implies risk, personal risk, but it also implies a certain amount of discipline, too, to do it. Just another personal example. I always had that Walter Mitty fantasy that I could go anywhere and play boogie-woogie piano, and that maybe, you know, that at some point in my life, I could play piano on a cruise ship, and there would be a giant brandy snifter on top of the grand piano, and exotic, beautiful women would drop their room keys and $20 tips, you know, as I was, you know, playing Misty or something, you know. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only person who's had this
Dick,
fantasy.
Dick, was that fantasy before or after 50?
Oh, that one's been around a while. But I actually started a couple years ago, and I just couldn't get it. I could not get that baseline. I couldn't do it. And I did it a little bit each day, and I pretty much gave up. Just didn't sound like Dr. John or any of these guys. But I kept it up, and I've been doing it for 3 years now. And now I can fool some of the people most of the time.
We have a question that we're asking everybody, and that is, what would you say to your younger self that you know now and didn't know then?
That's a great question. Maybe I'd wish I'd been even more fearless. You know, part of the impulse in terms of what you're both doing in these interviews and, you know, life after 50, I think entails a lot of self-reflection. You know, Socrates, the greatest teacher, said the unexamined life is not worth living. And so you hit these milestones like 40 or 50, and self-reflection would seem to be an important part of that. And I'm 59 now. I'm in my 60th year, and I'm doing that right now. And I don't know, when you look back in hindsight, I think you see what could have been more clearly, but you also see where you fail to make choices where maybe you should have. In answer to your question, I wish I'd been even more so.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.